This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today on the show, we're exploring the ongoing shift towards a non-cash economy and how payment systems have evolved over the last few years. And helping us with this is Arun Menon, Managing Director at Ipsos Malaysia, a market research firm. Back in January, Ipsos released their latest case study on the non-cash economy and payments evolution, which found that there was a slight decrease in the usage of non-cash payment methods in 2023. However, a key point to take note is that half of Malaysians are still using non-cash payments, with e-wallets being used by a quarter of the population. Besides that, some other notable findings from the non-cash and economy and payments evolution study shows that there's a higher frequency of people who are using e-wallets, more young people are using online transfers, the usage of e-wallets has been primarily for food purchases, and this has increased but experienced a drop for retail and online purchases. And TNG e-wallet retains the top spot as the most used e-wallet brand, with May as a strong number two. There's a lot more to break down and digest and from this case study, which Arun will help us today on the show. If you have any thoughts, you can WhatsApp us on our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899, or you can reach us over on X at BFM Radio. Arun, thank you for joining me in the studio. How are you doing today?
Hello, Roshan. Thank you for having Ipsos at your studio.
Now, Arun, there's some interesting insights to provide here in this report, and we're going to get into it all. But, you know, when we talk about any studies, it's really important to understand how the study was done. So talk to us, give us a brief overview in terms of the methodology used in this study.
Okay. So one of the things that we need to make sure that it is a representative study, that means that it has to be representative to all Malaysians, right? So all adult Malaysians has to be covered. So we cover around 18 to 75 years of age, and we have spoken to around 1,000 Malaysians across Malaysia. And it's not something new. We have been doing this study for every year, per se, so that for the last 4 years, we've been collecting this information. And we are asking questions on people's behavior in the last 3 months. So they were asking about, like, the study was done in the last quarter of 2023. Then we are speaking about, like, you know, in the last three months, how the behavior has changed and, you know, specific to non-cash.
Now, in the context of the study, I mentioned some of the keynotes earlier there, but have there been any notable shifts in consumer preferences that caught your attention regarding the specifically non-cash payment methods?
So we track few non-cash payment options, which is like the regular one, debit and credit card, the e-wallet, and, like, you know, online transfers. As for the four ones which we track. And
the four ones, you got debit and credit cards, e-wallets, and online transfers.
One of the thing is that 50% of, close to 50% of Malaysians are using non-cash, right? But the other part is that half of them are still dependent on cash. So the 50% of us is, you know, using all this for, but the other 50% only depends on cash for the main transfer, right?
Oh, right. So it's 50% only using cash. Till today. And this is post-pandemic.
Yes.
You know, we talk all about this digitalization, acceleration, and still
50% of Malaysians only use cash, right? So that's one thing which we need to be particularly thoughtful about. And what we have seen is that before pandemic, and the surveys always told us, like, around 25 to 30% is the non-cash. Now it's actually for, you know, 50%. That's a huge increase. It hasn't drastically changed, I would say. Like, you know, from a 55%, it has gone to 51% over the last. So it's not a huge drop, but there is a slight dip, as we can notice across. We see particularly the debit card and credit card slightly increasing, whereas in case of online banking and, you know, in terms of e-wallet, slight dip as well. That's just a general shift that we can see. So what I would say is a bit of a rebalancing between different options that you have within the non-cash payment.
So debit and credit cards slightly increasing in usage. E-wallets, food purchases still a key part there, but some decreases in some other areas, including online purchases. 50% of Malaysians still only using cash. So some interesting insights there. Could you give us a sense for how these preferences have evolved over time compared to previous years?
Okay. So pandemic was, for a lot of reasons, bad for us. You know, we were all cooped up at home and everything. But two areas which is benefited for the pandemic is e-commerce and e-wallet, right? There is a drastic boom when it comes to e-wallet adoption, particularly over the period of time and using non-cash, right? And that's practically because we want to go for the non-touch options. You know, we are ordering things from home, and all of them has helped us to actually use more and more of the So that has become almost the norm from 22nd onwards. So that's what the main thing that we see over the years. You know, this hasn't changed much. But along with that, we also see that, you know, particular demographic shift in terms of, you know, a bit of always when you think of non-cash option, is that the obvious reasons, like the older segments are less likely to use non-cash option. They would prefer cash economy. Someone who is lower income would prefer to use cash. The rural areas would always prefer to cash over the non-cash option. Those things has not changed much over the period of time, so the broader outline. But within the cash, non-cash itself, those who are using e-wallet tends to be younger in age group. Those who are using the online transfers are slightly older in age group. The main shift we happened is that the younger generation started using less of e-wallet in 2023. Right.
That's interesting. Did you see it shift somewhere else? Did it maybe as they grew up started using cards?
So one of the reasons being is how in 2022 we were still getting a lot of transfer from the government, right? So we are transfers getting to the e-wallets and stuff. So that's one obvious part. The other part is that the overall usage of e-commerce has reduced compared to 22nd to 23rd, right? So one area that you can see also in the reports is that the online purchases has come down, right? And e-wallets is particularly used for online purchases. That's one of the areas. Whereas in the other options, which is like an online transfer, so you go for a restaurant, then you split the bill across your friends. So that's an easy way to do it through the online transfers and others, right? So we've seen that the more younger age adoption, of course, there is, and I'm not, by default, there is promotions and campaign of by course. May and others, Touch and Go and others. That definitely helps those segments. But we have seen that the behavioral shift in terms of which category they are purchasing now versus which category are using is that one obvious thing is that we are more out and about. Of course, that benefit Touch and Go, because we are using their Touch and Go across the thing, then automatically it's affect using Touch and Go apps in other retail outlets, right? So that kind of, you know, behavioral normalization is also affecting.
That's interesting. As we mentioned earlier, 50% of Malaysians are using non-cash payments. Well, using non-cash payments in 2023, which means another 50% are only using cash payments. Talk to us a little bit about some of the key factors that are pushing us towards non-cash transactions. Are there still push factors that are leading us towards that? Or are we at a little bit of a stalemate between this 50-50 right now?
What we see is that that acceleration that we got through the pandemic, it's kind of normalized at this stage. So we need to have other factors that to help us to push more and more adoption of non-cash, right? So, of course, there is a government policy to have more non-cash options available for general public. But the segments that could start using non-cash is already started using it. It becomes by a de facto, you know, mode of options, right? So they are using it more frequently. That data shows also they are using it more frequently if they are using non-cash. But there are segments which is very comfortable. If you ask any Grab driver, they would tell you there are customers who pay by cash, right? Though they book by Grab, they're paying by cash into, you know, so there are people who would. One of the reasons is that you might want to have a control on your cash because, you know, making the non-cash is a very painless option in terms of transferring money, but it's also does not give you as much control on your budget. So
These are little behavioral things that we can do to manage our expenses, right? Arun, I want to talk about the e-wallet increases and how TNG and May are the two top contenders in the space, but we'll do that after a few messages. Folks, I've been speaking with Arun Menon. He's the Managing Director at Ipsos Malaysia, a market research firm, and we've been talking about key trends and insights from their latest case study on the non-cash economy and payments evolution in Malaysia. I'm Roshan Gunnison. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Beyond frivolous mishmash, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. Welcome to the all-new Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and today we've been talking about the non-cash economy and payments evolution with Arun Menon, Managing Director at Ipsos Malaysia, a market research firm. Some of the insights we talked about earlier are how 50% of Malaysians are still only using cash despite the digitalization acceleration that we saw during the pandemic. E-wallets are still strong. Debit cards and the credit cards have seen a slight increase as well. And online transfer is still a key part of the ecosystem. Now, Arun, since 2021, there has been a constant trend of e-wallet users primarily using, I think, a maximum of 2 e-wallets, if I've got the number correct. I think 1.8 is specifically that number. And if I look at my own usage, I think that's quite correct. However, the usage frequency has increased with about one-fourth of usage of e-wallets every day in 2023, about 25% of people using it on a daily basis. Can you highlight some of the factors that have contributed to the push in e-wallets that we've seen?
So what we see is that where the non-cash itself has steadied around 50% of Malaysians using non-cash multiple options, right? Those people who are actually using e-wallet every day, it has actually increased to 26% of those people who are, you know, using e-wallets. It's like using it every day, right? Multiple purchases, whatever, right? Then you would have another 50% using it like multiple times in a week, per se. So that means that 76% is a high usage, I would consider. So that means that the current segments who are entrenched into the non-cash payment e-wallet systems, per se, they are finding more occasions to use it. Right, so that every other F&B purchase that you would have, you would use the e-wallet, right? So they are distancing themselves more and more from cash at the
moment. Now, it's quite interesting to see that you're seeing that if people use e-wallets, they use it quite regularly, and then maybe once in a while they use it. I also wonder whether there is this ecosystem play or even the reward systems, right? Because I was one of those e-wallet daily kind of users, but that was to collect points, those sort of things. And now there's a debit card out there that gives me daily cashback, for example. So now my allegiances have shifted. When we look at some of the survey numbers that you've the report, the study, TNG e-wallet had the top position, I think 88% usage. And then in second place, we had Maybank's May with 46% of usage amongst e-wallet users. Talk to us about what factors have contributed to TNG e-wallet's success. I have a feeling it has something to do with the fact that they've got the toll advantage as well.
Yes. So from what you said, right, there are different consumer segments, as you said, that I would classify you as a value-seeking segment, right? So you would look for values from wherever, right? So you're seeking value. Some people use for convenience, right? Because I don't want to have the hassle of, you know, cash and all those things. So there are different segments per se. One of the reasons is that it's, of course, in addition to the effort done by Touch and Go and MAE and others, it's also what we discussed before, right? How behavior has shifted over a period of time. So we have seen a massive increase of online money transfer by 19% compared to the 2022 numbers to end of 2023 numbers, right? The minute you think of money transfer, you think of two options, Touch and Go and MAE. There's the two main sources they are considering. So that they have benefited from that money transfer per se, right? And along with the money transfer, of course, the toll and parking, we are traveling, we did discuss about that. But the other areas which is behaviorally increased is the food delivery is one option that we have increased. And also the F&B purchases. We are, you know, eating out more than 2022 and before, like we are purchasing from convenience stores more than what it is used to be before. And we are using eval. Then automatically you would think of, okay, which all touch points are we using more for that. And that's where Touch and Go and May benefit a lot more from that, right?
So the touch points, it helps that, I guess it would help that Maybank is the biggest bank in the country.
Absolutely.
So the minute you have that kind of user base, there's an automatic kind of uptick. And I would be curious to see whether we see continuous growth in May's usage. So we'll wait for next year's report to hear about that. TNG has that entrenchment, but you talked about food delivery and all. And so it's surprising to see that players like GrabPay and ShopeePay are below the 20% usage rate. We'll get to that in just a bit, but Maybank's May app, 46% utility or usage rate. what's powering their significant position here?
I believe you answered it already. It's because the market share, first of all.
It's just the size of the bank.
The pure size of it. Then it's actually, then, you know, by default, you are using it for a lot of other functions. Then it's actually stretching itself into that, right? So it's more like, say, in a lot of sense, Grab is great because it's kind of, you know, one super app for all. Mm. Maybank, in that sense, is becoming that financial super app, right? You can have all those things which is done by that. And along with that, you can pay at the counter. Touch and Go probably approaching from the others, from tolls and others, then they are actually moving towards this, right? So these are, by default, these are the two companies already has an existing captive customer base. Mm. Now we are actually introducing that customer base, the new set of, you know, solutions. Whereas in, you know, probably Grab and Shopee, of course, they have a wide presence in Malaysia, but that is, you know, they don't have as large or massive.
It would be also, I guess, be a more discretionary target market, right? Because we're talking about people are shopping online, people are using ride hailing, food delivery, which are discretionary items, where else me and TNG wallet, everyone wants to use the toll, or people want to use the toll, but it's wider accessibility.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, notably, when we look at, as I was mentioned, Shopee and GrabPay, below the 20% usage rate, Boost, FavePay, Lazada e-wallet, Settle, all much below that. Why, I guess, aside what we already talked about, are there any other key factors that differentiate the top two here and the rest of the field? Okay.
So what happens with the Grab and Shopee and others, it hasn't massively dropped. It's only a 1% change from what we wouldn't consider as a significant change, right? Mm-hmm. So they've been in the same place as what they were last year, but whereas in Touch and Go or MAE has, like, you know, a much drastic increase in terms of so that means that though there is, you know, deliveries and like the others, they're also being used as much as last year, but they haven't got any additional benefit over this year. Having said that, food delivery particularly has a massive increase in 2022. There is a 19% increase of food delivery in our 2022 report says that there is a massive increase. But it has increased slightly from there as well this year, but not as much as that 19% increase in 2022 per se. So that's also a play of the categories per se. On the other side, Shopee, we automatically associate with the e-commerce, which has dropped because the inflation, cost of living, the amount people spending has actually reduced, right? Mm. So their primary catchment areas is actually that there is a less usage and behavior. So when it comes to Shopee's case, so that's potentially affected. But having said that, they hold on to the same percentage which been using Shopee, like minor changes compared to last year. So they hold on to their position, but they haven't increased as MAE or Touch and Go per se.
So these folks would have their captive audience already. It may not be as wide. They're not looking at the volume game per se. They're looking at, okay, this is our user base. We keep them. We hold on to them. Where else you've got your Maze and your TNGs, which have a much wider customer base. One of the most interesting insights from a user behavior perspective, and that seems to be the key thing here, right? How consumers behave and whether these wallets fit into their lives. Is that people are using about on average 1.8 e-wallets. I guess people don't want to keep switching between different payments. Oh, I should use Grab for this or TNG for that. So what is the lowest common denominator, I guess? How important is that? Are you seeing people use beyond two? Because 1.8 is an average. Do you have a sense for what's the max someone would use in terms of the number of e-wallets? The value grabbers, perhaps?
Yes, exactly, right? So there are people who looks for, like, you know, multiple reasons, right? As you said, one need that people would have is that, okay, I need to get the best out there for each of them, right? It's as you would check a Lazada app and Shopee app, which one has a lower option, right? So that's where you would look for the same for a food delivery. You would look for a few options to do that, right? That's one look of it. The other group of people is say that I don't have, you know, I don't really have the thing to get around, but, or I want to save money in a different way. I link my bank account or credit card to just one account and I control and manage that spending differently, right? So that's where we are. So in our survey, there are what we call the outliers, which is like people who are using 5, 6, or 7 apps off, right? So in that thing, right? Yeah. But on the other side, there are people who stick to just one app. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you are driving, say probably like you have a touch and go or a mail, automatically most of the people who are using online banking would have a mail on your system by default.
Yep.
Right? Now you're thinking of the other one, right? So
yes. So if I look at myself, right, I've got me because that's my bank account. I've got TNG e-wallet because, you know, I never know when I'll need to use the toll, for example, or parking. I primarily use Grab. And then I've got Settle as well because benefits, the rewards that you get at petrol. So I would be that outlier kind of demographic, but you've also got the people who look for value. You've got also the people just want convenience. That seems to be a big part of this.
Yes.
Interestingly, something else that caught my attention, and I think we touched upon this a little earlier, was the increase in online transfers, particularly among youths.
Mm.
And I think you mentioned earlier this was because it was partially supported by TNG e-wallet and May having transfers within their ecosystems. Give us a sense of some of the trends you've observed with online transfers among the youth.
Okay. So when we all moving to the non-cash economy, we automatically seen some segments moving faster, some segments slowing, right? So someone who is like a 25 plus age, right? 25 to somewhere close to 45. Say, for example, you are reaching that, you are an employed person and you have a certain income and everything. They are more likely to use online transfers, right? So whereas in someone who is like 18 to around 35, that age band has a higher usage of e-wallet in general. So that was our, when we moved all into the node. But over the last year, there's a major shift happening is that there is less of this younger 18 to 25 age using e-wallets. They're also shifting towards the online transfers per se. Two reasons. One we already discussed is that these are the same segment, go online and shop, right? For all the, from the cosmetics, for the clothes, for the caps and whatever it is, right? So there is a drop that we have, in a previous survey we did for e-commerce landscape, it has shown a 7% drop at the overall in terms of e-commerce, right? And that's the same segment is where we have seen a significant drop as well. So that's automatically, we have seen that the e-wallet usage has dropped from that particular segment. The second thing is that now that we are out and about, you would have a lot of, F&B outlets and others. And I was mentioning that you go for a restaurant, split the bill, right? Then you transfer from your May and split it across to your... So that's another way of convenience, right? So for those segments, right? So it's not that they have, they still are the highest in terms of e-wallet usage, but the usage level has dropped a bit.
Let's talk about some of the external factors that play a role here, right? What are the key external factors that influence the evolution of non-cash payments in Malaysia?
So currently what seems to be definitely the economy and inflation has a big play.
It seems like that.
So we would want to save as much as we can. We know the cost of living is increasing, and it seems to be stabilizing over the years. But in 2023, it was definitely increasing. So that seems to be the biggest factor, which seems to be affecting the overall usage of cash and non-cash payment per se. Then the next thing is that how many outlets has been adopting non-cash payment modes and faster, convenient way of which has almost reached its saturation level too, because almost every outlet in Klang Valley, all the market centers in Malaysia has an option for the non-cash payment. So the point of sales seems to have reached its limit.
So that's not a growth avenue anymore.
That I don't think there would be a much growth. Mm. If you are in a business, you definitely need to
You've got it already at this point.
Yes, right. So that's the part. So the economy seems to be one of the key factors which is affecting the movement. But what I would consider that now, for example, when we look at a 2024 survey, are we going to stagnate around the same level for next years, or what is going to accelerate this growth, right? So that's where help people to adapt more.
Now, given the ever-changing landscape of the payment system with the digital, the non-cash, the cash, is there the need for more education to promote awareness and understanding of non-cash payment options among the Malaysian population? Because as we mentioned earlier, 50% of Malaysians are still only using cash. Is education the way to look at it?
I think one of the things that we might have to look into is to see The segments which is, you know, the non-cash payment is not reaching out to. Not everybody can own a credit card,
yeah.
Right? So, of course, you can have a debit card per se. But the rural segments, you are looking at the B40 segments, mm-hmm. older age segments because of the technological literacy per se. These are the segments where, you know, older segments, of course, you know, more education and more of UX can help, right? So in terms of the apps per se that we are using, more convenient into that segment, but we tends to see that awareness and education needed in a much different level, right? Because we recently published a report on scams as well. So 50% of Malaysians are exposed to scam in the last 3 months. Wow. Right, that's a, you know, horrible amount of number.
Sounds about right. It's really really concerning.
And e-commerce channels is like one of the areas where the scammers actually get your numbers and cards and everything. So you are actually, so you would be much careful on putting your credit cards and numbers and bank accounts on your e-wallet, right? Or your non-cash options. So education is more in the sense that how do you actually build a continuous trust in this ecosystem by putting a security guards around, you know, fraudsters to prevent using the platforms and stuff. What and where you should give your, you know, e-wallet numbers.
Arun, to close off the conversation, could you summarize key insights of this study for, you know, the businesses and the business leaders, the entrepreneurs who are listening here, in order for them to better navigate through the evolving payments landscape in 2024 and beyond?
So I think the one key insight for us that half of the Malaysians still using cash, only cash, right? And how do we actually bring them to the fold of non-cash? And that means that there is still a market out there, but, you know, how do you actually reach out to them, make them involved in that? And the second part of it, that we have seen an acceleration over the last few years, but it seems to have slowed down in terms of non-cash payment. So what are the other triggers that we can actually push it further? As in the sense that the point of sale seems to be saturated, so everybody can access it. So how do you accelerate that, right? And the last part of it is that we are all facing the cost of living crisis per se. So is there a room for the non-cash payment options or e-commerce channels to bring better value to the consumers to manage the budgets? Or the household budget per se, right? And the last, most importantly, is that, you know, we need to build trust in this ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And how do we prevent scams, you know, affecting the system per se?
So, yeah, I mean, if after the pandemic, 50% of people are still only using cash, that's a significant number, I think, to be considering. On that note, Arun, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Roshan.
Folks, I've been speaking with Arun Menon. He's the Managing Director at Ipsos Malaysia, a market research firm. And we've been talking about the latest trends in non-cash, in the non-cash economy and the evolution of payments here in Malaysia. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. Our shows are also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and other podcast players. Just look for Enterprise Explores. I'm Roshan Kennison. Keep it here at BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.